are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled Wisdom for Work and Wealth, is the fifth message in the series Respect the Beard, and is taught by Pastor Frank Wymans. For more information, visit woodbridgechurch.org.
Are you learning to respect the beard these last few weeks? Would you stand with me? We're going to read from Proverbs this morning. Proverbs, one of the wisdom books. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy hands makes for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." Proverbs 28:19 says, "Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty." Proverbs 24:30-34, "I went out past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." Proverbs 22:6-7 says, "Train up a child in the ways he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We've left our homes this Sunday morning, God, to come to this house, to this place of gathering, to meet with God, to meet with each other. Lord, as we gather here this day, we pray for those on the East Coast of America. We pray for those whose lives have been radically altered by this storm. We ask, Lord, that you would be there in the storm, that you would comfort these people. That, Lord, you would once again remind us that things can be taken away from us. Houses and possessions. And yet, Lord, you can never be taken away from us. Lord, we in California grieve the loss of three police officers killed this last week in Southern California. We think of the young lady, Lord, who just came back from maternity leave, this young police officer, this woman that was killed in Palm Springs, and the man that was going to be retiring in December after 35 years of serving as a peace officer. Lord, we just grieve with these people. We grieve with the police officer and the families in Lancaster. Lord, this is a crazy world, Lord. Too many people still haven't met and known and have decided to follow Jesus. And Lord, people are making such bad decisions, hurting other people and hurting themselves. And you've taught us not to do this. Help us, Lord, to help people draw closer to you. Help us to make your name known in this place. Lord, as we gather here today, we ask that the voice of Jesus would rule in this place. Would you speak into our hearts? We seek wisdom. We seek wisdom from the one who has a great beard, the Lord God Almighty, the one who has lived longer than anybody, anything else. You've always existed. You're smart. You're wise. And we seek you, our Father who is in heaven. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us this morning once again. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. You know, that is an amen. Tough this week. I was up. Kai, every week I'm spending. So, guys, if you're new here today, by the way, welcome. If you're new to Woodbridge Church, my name is Pastor Frank, and I'm also a police chaplain. I'm the senior police chaplain at the Irvine Police Department. Every week, I'm called out doing something with the police department. And this week, I actually had something fun to do. I was got to drive up and see Dave Magger get paid. He is now the chief of the LAX Police Department, so I was part of his badge-pinning ceremony on Thursday. But driving up with people who were talking about Lancaster, you know, in the cars, I was driving up with some command staff from, and just talking about what the Lord is doing. Man, you wouldn't believe what these people do every day. Honestly, did you know that we had a traffic stop here this last week where someone noticed somebody didn't have a seatbelt on, pulled them over, something simple. These people had hundreds of counterfeit $100 bills. This is in Irvine, on Irvine Boulevard. And they're like, what's up with this? We don't know where this money came from. Well, we sold a car. And it's like the officer's like, this is funny money, right? They end up saying something's wrong. They called in the canine unit. And the dog sniffs around and finds guns in the car. High-capacity magazines and guns in the car. These people were on parole. God bless, you know, that could have been bad, but our officers did such a good job. God bless these people that are doing this. Our society needs help. See, you wouldn't know that if the chaplain didn't tell you that. They're not telling you this is going on in our city. It's happening all the time. Gosh, Lord, this church is here to help people meet Jesus. If you would just meet him. And not just meet him, but if you would get to know him. And not just meet him and get to know him, but if you would just listen to his call and you would follow him, your life would be forever different. The way you live life out would be so different. Because that's who Jesus is, the way he lived his life out for us. So we are going to be continuing our series this morning on the wisdom literature, right? Hey, do you remember the first time you ever got a credit card? How old were you when you got your first credit card? Do you remember what you first bought? A camera. All right. What else? Do you guys remember when you first bought the credit card? A car? That's a lot of interest on a car. Do you remember what you first got with your credit card? I remember one time there was a kid in our youth group. His name is Mark. He's a great guy. And one day he showed up with a brand new sports jacket. San Francisco 49ers, big 49er fan. This guy bought the Primo sports jacket. I'm like, whoa, where'd you get that? He goes, I got a credit card. I was a transfer student from Saddleback College, and I went to Biola. And I remember one day, it was in the fall semester, Biola, and I was living in a dorm. It's called Emerson Upper Rod. It was a guy's dorm. It was like this huge quad, and it was in the shape of a U, and I was Upper Rod. And there was a guy over in Upper Even that had a great stereo system, and he shared it with everybody. You know what I mean by that? And one day, it was a Saturday. It was the weekend. And now, by the way, at a Christian university, you don't hear too many colorful metaphors. Do you understand what I mean by that? Cussing. So one day, I remember, it was a lazy day, and all of a sudden, I heard this dad start screaming from across the quad. And this dad started screaming in colorful metaphors at his son. And I remember because he shared his conversation with everybody yelling at his son. And he said, your mom and I have been working so hard to get you to this school. And what do? You go buy the stereo system with it on a credit card. And you stupid. See, back then, they had these tables set up. And you could get a free water bottle if you sign up for your credit card. Okay? And so this guy signed up and got a free water bottle. Got his credit card, and decided he needed an $800 stereo system at 20% interest, right? And his father decided to surprise him, flew down with his mom from Oregon to surprise their son and to see how he's doing in his education. Does God have any wisdom for us in how we deal with work, how we approach work, and how we approach wealth? Answer? Yes, right? We find a lot of this wisdom. You know what, you guys? You and I in this room are very, very special people. You and I in this room are made in the image of God, and God has given all of us in here something that's incredibly valuable, freedom. You and I in this room have freedom. Freedom to make choices. Freedom to make choices. Today you can go and out to lunch, and you could pick anything on the menu. You can choose not to go to lunch. You have freedom. And these freedoms are amazing. And God makes us in his image and gives us the freedom of choice. And God, being a good father, also gives us wisdom so we make good choices. Better choices, better life, okay? God gives us wisdom, if we would just listen to him, in so many topics on how we could make better choices in how we live our life. And these span from high philosophical things to very practical things and how we deal with our friends, how we pick friends, how we deal with our own human sexuality. That was last week. And today we're going to talk about work and wealth and God's wisdom for us on work and wealth. You want to take notes this morning? In your worship folder, take notes. This is always a fun thing to do, just to kind of take notes, think about this, and we're going to have some fun with it, and you can go out and talk about it. I hope you're in growth groups. You can discuss what we're going to talk about today. But here's some words from the Lord. I want you to take notes on this. You ready? It's God's will for us that we work. Did y'all get that? It's God's will for us that we work. God created us to be working people. I remember Rick Warren says, God did not create you to take up space and consume resources. That's not the purpose of your existence. You're not here to take up space and consume resources. There's higher purposes in your life. God created us that we would all work. Genesis 2:15 says, then the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it, to work it, to guard it. It's important. Proverbs 4:10, lazy hands makes for poverty, but diligent hands brings wealth. Proverbs 20:13, do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food. Great Proverbs, right? Proverbs 28:19, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Thessalonians, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle, the Apostle Paul says, when we were with you, nor do we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's like no better, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to settle down, right? And earn the food that they eat. Paul said this in Ephesians 4:28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. We, as mankind, have been created to work. It's a part of our purpose. And we feel better when we accomplish something, don't we, people? Don't you feel better at the end of the day when you can say, I did something? You know, it's so funny. I was talking with a lady this week. Doesn't go to our church. She has a son that's 25 years old who's got daddy issues. Do you understand what I mean by that? They're divorced. The dad, this son hates his father, and this kid is lost. He goes from job to job, loses his job, stays at home. And the mom was telling me when he at least gets up and goes to work and comes home, he feels better about himself. He feels better about himself. And it's because that's what he's supposed to be doing. God didn't design us to sit on a couch and watch TV, right? God created us to do something, to work. It's important. And we feel better about ourselves at the end of the day and say we did something. It's just a part of our DNA. And the Apostle Paul tells us in the church that we're totally to work and provide for ourselves, to earn our own load, right? To be responsible, and it's good for us. And it's good for us to share and to be generous with other people. Now think about it. Does God work? And is God generous towards you? Answer? Think about this. The one whom we've been made in the image of, God, is a worker. Take notes on this. God, in whose image we are made, is a worker. Think about this with me. Check this out. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:31, God saw that all he made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis 2:1-2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, okay, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Check this out. That's called, in the eyes of God, that's a good day's work. Okay? When God creates not just the earth, but the heavens, right? God looks at this and says, that's not a bad day's work. Or this one. God would look at this and say, that's not bad. When you were created in his image, God says, that's good. You know, when you read these scriptures, it's like God has satisfaction in his work. Read Genesis. It's good. This is good looking. I like this. This is good, right? It's good. God says it's good. There's a purpose and satisfaction from our Creator in working. We were created to work, people. Now, check this out. God just hasn't worked. He's still at work. Jesus said this, and I love this. In John chapter 5, verse 17, in his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day. And Jesus says, and I too am working. God just didn't work long ago. God's constantly working. God was working in your life and in my life when we were drawn to him. He was the one working to bring us to him. It was so great. This last week, our staff had the privilege of sitting down with a couple that's now been coming to our church last few weeks who have been a part of the underground church in Iran. And you got to meet these people. They're amazing. They were both thrown in jail because of their faith in Christ. They spent time in jail. And as they were sharing their story with our staff this last Tuesday, we asked them at one point, you know, how many underground churches are there in Iran right now? They say there's two or three on every street. Blew my mind. We got goosebumps, didn't we, Pastor Graham? God is always about his work. Pastor Graham has been in China many times, and there are so many underground churches in China. The estimates are that there are more Christians in China than in the United States. And if they're all up, they're hidden, they're underground, and it's growing. Who's doing that work? God is. God just hasn't worked. God is working, and he continues to work. This principle of work is trickled down to us from the one that made us. During the Reformation, there was a time in Christendom where the church reread the Bible in its entirety, and it was called the Reformation. And from the Reformation, all kinds of beautiful things came out of it. And the famous theological reformer, a guy named John Calvin, taught, as after reading the Bible, that all people must work because to work was the will of God. It was the duty of people to serve as God's instruments here on earth, to reshape the world in the fashion of the kingdom of God. We are his hands. We are his feet. We're to work. A Christian never retires. God never retires. We're always to work for the kingdom. So, God created us, right? God created us to work. God is a worker. Note number three is this. Check this out. It's kind of fun. God doesn't want you to be a sluggard. Okay? God doesn't want you to be a sluggard. Have you ever heard of a sluggard? A sluggard is a person that was a type of an individual created in the book of Proverbs that describes a lazy person. Okay? A lazy person. Now, if you read the wisdom literature, the book of Proverbs alone, you'll be introduced to a sluggard. Listen to this. These are fun. Proverbs 6:6-11 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. You little ant. You notice a little ant's never like resting? Look at the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Look at an ant. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores up its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcely like an armed man, right? How's that, sluggard? How about this one? Proverbs 24. I went past a field of a sluggard, past a vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a thief, right? Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. Okay? Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. Proverbs 26:13-14. The sluggard says, there's a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. It's making excuses, right? As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard turns on his bed. Can you just picture that? A little hinges of this individual. I can't work. There's a lion in the square, right? A sluggard can work. They just refuse to. You ever met them? They can work. They just refuse to. They make up excuses. This isn't talking about people on disability or that has health issues. That's different. These people refuse to work. And that's wrong, says God. God works. God created us to work. It's good for us to work. It's not good for us to live on the couch and play computer games or to ditch work because the surf is up, right? We're to be responsible. It's a part of our calling in life. Take notes on this. You ready? Not only are we supposed to work, but God says this, when you work, who are you working for? Him. God says that when we work for Him. He's our boss. Colossians 3:23-24 says this, whatever you do, okay, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Do y'all get that verse? When you go to work tomorrow, for those of you that have to punch a clock tomorrow, who are you working for? If you realize that, would that change the way you approached your work? Or how you would work. Remember that Reformation, right? During the Reformation, they were reading the Bible and they came up with, they were like, well, check out this out. There's a theology of work. Martin Luther, the reformer, right? As he read the Bible, he began to teach that all people could serve God through their work. All people could serve God through their work. A person's vocation was equated as their calling. Let me say that again. A person's vocation is equated as their calling. And all callings, said Martin Luther, were of equal spiritual dignity. A farmer, a president, a police officer, a pastor, a stay-at-home mom, a dishwasher. Our work is our calling. And so serve God in it. Serve God in whatever it is that you do. All callings were of equal spiritual dignity, said Martin Luther. Isn't that beautiful? So when you work unto the Lord. And they are all of equal spiritual dignity. It's called a theology called the doctrine of divine calling. I try to explain this. So when I ride around when I put on a uniform and I ride around and do ride arounds here, if you ever see me in a police car, I'm not in trouble, right? And I'm riding with these guys, and I try to tell them, these gals, you are an instrument of justice and righteousness in our city. You're an instrument of justice and righteousness in our city. If you weren't here, what would this city look like? You're an instrument by God to bring justice to a circumstance that was unjust to have counterfeit money. It was against the law for them to have guns in their car, hidden guns. They're on parole. Do you want them on your street? They're not, because someone took them and arrested them. They're an instrument of justice. It's just righteousness. It's the right thing to do. All callings are that way, God says. All your callings, everything that you do, it's of the Lord. So serve God in whatever it is. It's the doctrine of divine calling. All of us are to work, and we work unto the Lord. And when that happens, it becomes spiritual. Isn't that cool? How's that for wisdom from God on how to approach work? That's not bad, right? Is there a little beard in that? It's not bad, right? How about money? What would God say about our wealth? What would God say about my buddy that bought his stereo system, right? Here's some verses for you, right? Here you go. God says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord from your wealth, from your money. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Take notes on this. You ready? God is above our money. God's more important than our money. Honor the Lord with your money. You don't honor your money with the Lord. You get that? You honor the Lord with your money. God's above our money. Jesus says you can't serve two masters, right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our heart is to be with the one who died on the cross for us. That's where our treasure should be. Do I hear an amen? Amen. This is more important than your bank account. Do I hear an amen? Amen. It's true. Honor the Lord. That's beautiful, right? What does God say about money? People, write this down. Our wealth is a tool to be used for his honor. Our wealth is a tool to be used for whose honor? His. Honor the Lord. By the way, I want to say right now, I want to thank you for honoring the Lord by giving unto the Lord here every week. When you see baptisms and you see people accepting Christ and things going on at this church, none of this could happen if you didn't honor the Lord with your wealth. And from Pastor Frank, I just say thank you that you keep giving us the ammunition that we need to continue as your church to be the best that we can be. And I just want to thank you for giving unto the Lord, because as we gather together and give as a group, we can do amazing things. That's what our wealth is for. That's what our wealth is for. What else does God say about money? How about this one? There is one who pretends to be rich, but has nothing. You ever met these people? Another pretends to be poor, but they have great wealth. See, you have to keep up with the Joneses. You have to. If they buy a new car, you need to buy a new car too, right? If your neighbor remodels their kitchen, you have got to remodel your kitchen, right? No. What are you doing? You don't pretend to be rich, to try to live up and don't do it. Isn't that wisdom? Stop it. Don't look at other people, what they need, what they have. They're leveraged anyway to get it. I didn't sit there and go, man, I want a stereo like that guy. I think I'll go get a water bottle too. I didn't need one. He shared with me his music anyway. I heard it across the quad. There's one who pretends to be rich, but they have nothing. But there are people that pretend to be poor. You know, it's so cool. It's my wife and I've told this so many times that I'm so thankful at a certain seasons of life that God puts people in your life. And when my wife and I was getting married, God put in our lives the center. Did you know that the Rams is back to be the LA Rams? It's wonderful, right? Back then, there was a center named Doug Smith who became, him and his wife Debbie became our mentors in many ways. My wife and I was over at their house when we were getting married, we were having kids, and Doug played football for the LA Rams as a lineman, as their center for 14 years. Now, the average age of a lineman in the NFL is 3.5 years. And you know what Doug drove? A Pontiac. Do you know what house he lived in? One no bigger than yours. But this guy made a lot of money when he played for the Rams. A lot of these people, for like 3.5 years, make a bunch of money, and they blow it, and they're poor. Doug still has money, still providing for his family. His son, by the way, is now the center at USC, Cole Smith. Watch him. I think he's going to be next NFL, and he's going to make a lot more money than his dad if he makes the NFL. The point is this. Doug taught me, you don't live with next to the Joneses. Doug made a lot of money, and he didn't spend it. And he didn't care that all the other people they were all driving Mercedes. He just didn't care. He was a very simple man. If you had looked at him, you wouldn't have known that he was wealthy, and he is wealthy. He was wise with his wealth. When I think of this verse, I think of my friend Doug Smith. There is one who pretends to be rich, but he has nothing. There's another who pretends to be poor, but has great wealth. How about this one? Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. People who make money by fraud and ripping off other people, the Bible says, will one day have nothing, certainly in the next life and maybe in this life too. People that rip off people. Every time I think of this, I think of Bernie Sanders. Remember that guy? Man, the biggest Ponzi scheme in American history. I mean, he had people from Hollywood wrapped into this. Madoff, yeah, Bernie Madoff, that's his name, right? What did I say? I'm testing you. Bernie Madoff. You remember him? How about this one? In all labor there's profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Proverbs 14:23. Can you imagine a farmer saying, well, you know, I need to get out there and plant some seeds someday. And he never does it. That's poverty. Man, I need to get out there someday and find a job. Never does it. That's poverty, right? How about this one? I think this one's great. Those who work their land will have an abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Do you have these people in your family? Still living with their mom and dad at the age of 50, still waiting to be discovered, chasing fantasies, they never grow up. You ever meet these people? Those who work the land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. You ever met these people? What would God's wisdom say about my friend and his new stair system? Good idea, bad idea. Train up a child in the ways he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. Did my friend realize at the moment that he bought his stereo system at 20% interest that he became the slave of who? The credit card company, right? The credit card company, 20% interest. See, 90 days, same as cash. You don't save your money and buy something. Buy it now because you deserve it, right? Don't save your money and put it away and buy something. Buy it now, instant gratification. Why? Because you deserve it. You deserve it. This is marketing. So why don't you buy it now, and we'll be happy to borrow money from us so you can buy that, and we get 20% interest, and you become our slave. That's foolishness. Am I right? Totally against our society. Totally against the marketing. Giving a kid a credit card is a dangerous thing, parents. Ask many parents who have. And then they find out, you did what? Your $5,000 in credit card debt? What did you buy? I went out to eat a lot. And now you're paying $300 a month interest. And you can't afford it. How many parents have wiped out their kids' bad choices? And the kids go do it again. Train up a child in the ways they should go. The context is parents, teach your kids about money, right? There's wisdom. There's wisdom, right? Wisdom. Facial hair doesn't grow on children. Right? Respect the beard. Facial hair doesn't grow on kids. In order for you to get facial hair, you have to have at least walked on this planet a while. Okay? And now to get gray in your beard, you even need to have walked a little bit more. Right? The Bible says to respect those that have walked before you, to learn from them, to make good choices. Listen to those. The scripture says learn before you live. There's an old saying, well, you just live and learn, that's dumb. Learn and then live. Learn and then live. Listen to others, learn from others, then make the choices. That is the philosophy of the wisdom literature of the Bible. Learn. God says, learn from me and then make choices, and your life will be so much better. Better choices, better life. So it's called respect the beard, right? Now we've asked some of you to send out pictures. If you see someone that's got a cool beard, we've asked you to shoot them up to us, right? And we got a plethora this week. Watch this. How about this one? Jacob, dude, who is this guy? Where'd you find him at? Knott's Berry Farm. So now, what's the length of that beard? Did that just come out of when he was born? Did that happen to him? No. He had to earn that one. So Jacob, you just went up to him and said, that's a great beard. Can I take a picture with you? Now, you know something about beards, don't you, Jacob? Check out this picture of Jacob. There's wisdom in that beard, people. That's not bad. That's not bad. Give me some more. Ah, this is somebody. Now, wait, look, shoot the one before. This one's kind of cool. This is her brother when he was younger. Isn't that a good-looking beard? No gray in it, but he seems quite happy with life. Now, go back to the other one. A little bit more gray in that one. That's a nice beard. Isn't that a good-looking beard? Shoot me some more. Ah, Dr. Carr. That's a good-looking beard. That thing looks like you could get lost in that beard, doesn't it? If you dove in there, you could hide from the police. That's a good-looking beard. Jonathan found this one. This guy is at USC. He's a student. And this guy's an ex-Army Ranger. Got a good-looking beard, doesn't he? That's a good-looking beard. Nice beard. Any more? Do we get any more? Are those them? Those are all good beards. We have dual winners this week, by the way. Jacob, you won. See Vivian and Jonathan. You got to take that guy out for a cup of coffee because those are good-looking beards. All those are good-looking beards, but that's some good-looking beards. There's wisdom in beards, people. God's trying to speak into our lives wisdom. Do you want to know who the greatest person was? The greatest wisdom you could ever find is Jesus. And I want to close with this. The King of all kings gives the King of all wisdom right now. Jesus, one day as he was teaching through the hillside, someone came up to him and said, Jesus, help my family to give me more money from my parents' inheritance. Okay? In Luke chapter 12, it says this. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, this is 1,000 years after Proverbs was written, okay? Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. He said to him, man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Do you seek wisdom this morning on money? Then listen to God in human flesh. Are you ready? Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. There you go. Is that gold or what? Your life does not consist of your possessions. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And then I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool. Why? For this very night, your soul will be required of you. You're going to die tonight. And now, who will own what you have prepared? Question mark, Jesus says. So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. God calls him a fool. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. A fool is someone who won't apply knowledge. They get it, they just don't apply it. Jesus says this person's foolish. Where does the rich man fall short in Jesus' parable? Where does he fall short? Spiritually. Agree or disagree? What was this man's life all about? What's happening on earth, right? He's not seeing life under the canopy of the existence of God, people. He's not seeing life under the canopy of the existence of God. And for that, Jesus calls him foolish. Foolish. This life only, this life ends. What do you have? Answer? Nothing. Life lived without the reality of God in every moment is short-sighted in foolishness. Can I say that one more time? Life lived without the reality of God in every moment is short-sighted. And Jesus would say it's just foolish. Foolish. Jesus' little brother put it this way in James 4. He says this, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend time there and engage in business and we'll make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Is that true? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. You are a vapor that just appears for a little while and vanishes away. Do you ever look at your life like that? Instead, Jesus' little brother says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting, he says, is evil. Where's God in the thinking of all this? People, you've got to think about God in all of it. When you go to work tomorrow, God's there. When you're working, work unto the Lord. God is in the sphere of it all. When you're going to work tomorrow, when you are a stay-at-home mom with your kids, that's your job. If you're a cop, God's with you tomorrow, and you need him, amen? If you're a painter, it's God. If you're a musician, it's God. He's with you every moment of the day. And there is the beginning of wisdom, to have reverence for the Lord. God is in every aspect of your day, in how you work, how you obtain wealth, and your wealth is to be used in honor of God. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the Bible says. How's that? Is there wisdom there for you this morning? That's good, huh? That's actually really good. Imagine if you lived your life like that. What kind of life would you live? It's better to learn before you live. To learn from God before you live. I want to pray. And as we pray, I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up. But God, we just lift before you this sermon this morning. Lord, you exist, you're real, and we think it's awesome. Thank you, God, that we have a designer, a creator. And Lord, when we try to figure out what's going on with us, we have to look toward you because you're the one that made us. We're made in your image. You're powerful. You're amazing. When you speak into our lives, then life begins to make sense. Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you would just grant them a sense of divine purpose in what they're doing. If they're a student, then they're studying under the Lord. If they're working tomorrow, they're working under the Lord. They're staying home tomorrow, raising kids, or maybe they're retired. We never retire. We're always serving the Lord, loving other people, pursuing the kingdom of God. We never rest, because you never rest. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Father, if there are people in this room today that just need prayer, Lord, if there are people here today that just feel beat down, if there are people here today that just feel empty and lonely, they're filled with shame or guilt, God, maybe there are people here today that just need to make some huge decisions and they're seeking your wisdom. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would draw these people up here in these next few songs, and may we as a church leadership pray for them. We read your scriptures, Jesus, where you say that to come to the leaders of the church and receive prayer. And so, Lord, we thank you for that privilege that we have. You are in this room, God. Oh, we pray that you would make yourself known. We want more of you, God, more of you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's true. If you're here today and you just need some prayer, I invite you during these next few songs to come forward and receive prayer. Dr. Sheener, can I ask you to come up and pray with people today? And Pastor Vince, can I ask you to come up and pray with people today? And Mike and Pat and my wife, Cinda. Hey, if you're here today and you've got a financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, you come forward and let us pray for you. We've seen God do miracles. And God's here to do miracles today. He's here and he's real. He cares about you. The Lord's hand is on you. He loves you. God wants to make himself known to you. So, Lord, receive our time of prayer and worship this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
We are a child of God. That's our identity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. All those who would believe upon his name shall be given the privilege to be called children of God. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being our rock and our fortress. Thank you for being our deliverer. Thank you for being our wisdom. Thank you for your spirit that dwells within us. Lord, as we leave this place, we enter a crazy world. A world, God, that's in many ways just tearing itself apart. Our society is just hurting because they've walked away. God, would you help us, Lord, to be the salt of the earth this week? Would you help us to be the light of the world this week? Would you infuse us, God, with a special touch of your spirit, that we would have the power to be the people that you've called us to be, and that you would give us the power to do the things you've asked us to do. Help us, Lord, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. Give us the power, Lord, to enter our days of work and say, I work under the Lord today. Lord, help us, Lord, to not trust in bank accounts, but to trust in the cross of Christ. Teach us, Lord, how to honor you with what we have. And in that, God, the blessings will flow. Thank you, God, that you've given us this amazing gift of freedom. And yet, God, in our freedom of choices, we sometimes choose such bad things. Would you protect us? Give us wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to respect the beard of the Lord God Almighty and to trust in you with all of our heart and to not lean on our own understanding, to acknowledge you, God, in all of our ways. And in that we know that you will make our path straight. We trust in you this glorious day. We thank you, God, in this glorious day. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say what? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.